Thank you and be seated, please. I'm John Byers. Let me add my word of welcome to worship on this early autumn day at Conyers First United Methodist Church. We're all about making connections in this community of faith because we need each other. And this is a place where you can be needed. In fact, you're wanted because you are an unrepeatable miracle of God. And we'd simply like to know of your presence today. Inside your worship folder, you'll find a white connection card. It would mean a lot to me if you'd simply fill out the front side and let us know of your presence. Now, perhaps you're new in our midst today, and I understand when folks are checking out churches, they sort of want to remain anonymous, but I promise you this, after three very busy worship services this morning, I promise you, if you fill out the connection card, I will not appear on your porch this afternoon with a pledge card. I will not appear on your porch knocking to say, turn or burn, get right or get left. We simply want to know you by name and see if we might forge a relationship that really matters. In your worship folder are so many announcements of great things happening in the life of our church. First of all, I'd like you to notice the announcement about Crew, a new small group ministry in the life of our church. And I love the image of Crew. Now, I ain't ever done it, but I've watched it. And when you see a crew team in action, in a beautiful boat, each person putting his or her hand to the oar and in precision moving through the water. It's a beautiful thing. I believe God wants us to be organized together as crews, counting on each other, adding our strength to each other to do more together than we could ever possibly do by ourselves. Robin Payne is our director of spiritual formation and is hosting a starting point on September 28th. I urge you to find your place in a women's crew, a men's crew, a co-ed crew, all the different opportunities to be a part of a crew ministry. You'll find it there in your worship folder. My heart's heavy today seeing the irresponsible violence escalating in the Middle East. The thought that our ambassador to Libya, Ambassador Stevens, has lost his life as well as Navy SEALs and other folks that work with our State Department. We're seeing escalating violence even this morning in other Middle East countries. There is simply no excuse for the violence. I want us to join our voices together today to pray to the Prince of Peace that the hearts and the minds of God's good people would be changed in such a way that we could see each other as unrepeatable miracles and value and honor God for the creating power that He has placed in us. But I not only want us to pray for the violence in the Middle East, what about the violence in our own families? The brokenness of home life, the violence that we see even on our own streets. Sometimes I have to tell you, I want to give up. Do you ever feel that? You just think that the darkness is going to surround us. As a community of faith, we can pray down the power of God. Do you believe that? Together, we can pray down the power and the promise of God for peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Would you join me as we pray together? Father, in Jesus' name, we delight that Jesus is the Prince of Peace and how we need the promise of the Prince of Peace in our lives and in our country today. With the escalating violence in the Middle East, lives so senselessly lost. God, we especially decry violence in your name. Father, help us to move beyond the prejudice, the racism, the comparison, and see each other as precious gifts of the Almighty. We not only pray for our diplomatic efforts and the efforts of our military men and women abroad, but Lord, we look at our own lives and communities and see violence even in our own streets, and if we're honest, violence even in our own homes. The violence of neglect, the violence of unkind words, the violence of judging one another, the violence of comparing ourselves with others. God, we're desperate to find your peace. Perfect peace, and we claim in Christ that we can find it. Bless our great country in this time of turmoil and uncertainty. Bless our president and the leaders of Congress that they might know clearly how to act. Bless especially with a hedge of protection our military men and women as they willingly stand in harm's way for us. We pray for that other great army today, the army of our missionary men and women, that they might truly show across cultural and language barriers how good you are and how you are the great peace giver. God, in the life of this church, in the midst of the grief that we are experiencing, be our peace, our hope, our joy. We thank you for the promise of your presence today and pray that we would be aware in an ever-increasing way of how good you are. Let your word live in our hearts. Let your spirit be the heartbeat of our lives, that we might live into each day with hope. We pray, great God, in the name of Jesus, as he taught us, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I invite you to prepare your morning thank offering to God, for it's your willingness to share in the ministry of Christ that makes the incredible outreach of this church possible. And as we're thinking about mission and ministry in this local place, I'd like for you to notice in your worship folder the special annual conference-wide offering to support the United Methodist Children's Home in Decatur. In 1871, as this country was dealing with the aftermath of North versus South being torn asunder by the war between the states, the Methodist Episcopal Church South, our predecessor denomination, said, we must act on behalf of boys and girls, young people who were left orphaned by the war. And since 1871, the Methodist Church, which has always had a strong social justice heartbeat, has been working to serve families in crisis. Now, we don't call it the Orphans Home anymore, and the mission has changed a bit, but I am so glad that this phenomenal ministry now partners with the court system in helping to provide protective custody for kids who are absolutely, hear me friends, absolutely being abused in ways that you and I can hardly think possible, right here in North Georgia, right here in Atlanta. There are some things that we can do, but we can do so much more when we're together. And this offering on behalf of North Georgia Methodist today, 100% will go to help support the work of the United Methodist Children's Home. As you pray about your offering this morning, I hope that you'll include something for the sake of kids. Remember how Jesus said, let the little children come unto me and do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of God. I'm so grateful that I've grown to the place in my life that I do not give because I have to, but because I want to. I don't give because I'm supposed to. I give because it feels so incredible to be a part of the answer to someone's prayer, the answer to someone's need through the Church of Jesus Christ. As our ushers come forward with offering baskets this morning, I invite you to join me in offering your heartbeats of love in negotiable form. I greet you this morning with a very heavy heart, for it is my duty to report to you that on Thursday evening, our beloved minister of music, the Reverend Dan Brokaw, minister of music and pastoral care, passed away of a catastrophic heart attack that he suffered. He died under the care of magnificent medical professionals at the Emory University Hospital. But this morning it's my joy to dedicate our worship services to the greater glory of God and in memory of a really good guy. This morning, we celebrate that Dan is now living the reward of faith that he sang into our hearts, that he radiated into our lives through his amazing and loving ministry. And this morning, I invite you to open your Bibles with me to claim one of the great promises, one of the great rewards of faith that the Lord Jesus himself gives to every believer, a reward of faith that we are claiming for Reverend Dan this morning. From the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. John chapter 14, our Lord Jesus himself said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself." Why? That where I am, you may be also. If it's true, and I believe it is, as we have said so often, that the most often repeated promise in the Word of God to every believer is this: I will be with you. Then the bookend to that great promise from the heart of God is this eternal reward. And now you will be with me forever. St. Paul joyfully declares in the midst of the mystery of death, simply to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Jesus spoke to the repentant thief on the cross on Calvary's Hill as Jesus was giving his life for you and me, and simply spoke this word of hope to the thief who said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus said, "Assuredly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." For the last 34 and a half years, the Reverend Dan Brokaw has been a mainstay of the ministry of this church. Reverend Dan survived 10 senior ministers. If you count Dr. Long twice, and Dan said, "Oh yes, we always count Dr. Long twice," I was the 10th. And across the almost five and a half years we've been together, my own life was impacted richly by Dan. The sparkle in his blue eyes, the broad smile and warm welcome, his unpredictable and quirky, now say amen, go ahead and say it, quirky ways of showing us that we really mattered to him. In a very real sense, you are Dan's family. He chose to give everything to serve the Lord and Conyers First United Methodist Church. For many in this congregation, in our three services, this will be the first Sunday you have ever come to Conyers First without Reverend Dan. Some of you were literally born into this church, grew up in his many children's choirs, learned those dumb 1980s moves, dance steps that he made you learn. You hated, but you learned them anyway. Samantha, you want to cop a move and show us some of those moves that Dan taught you? Today is the first day that this great man of faith is not with us. And I want to depart from the new autumn series, The Ultimate Mental Makeover, that we've begun, and just pause for a few minutes today across the life of our church to give us permission to give space to our feelings and our words and enter into a time of acknowledging our loss, acknowledging our grief in the presence of God. Grief, it's a funny emotion, isn't it? In a very strange sort of way, the depth of our grief is indicative of the depth of the gift that we've been given, right? The depth of our grief, the struggle over the loss, is in a positive way an indication that a life, a relationship really, truly mattered to us. And for so many of us, that was the relationship that we had with Reverend Dan. Maybe you were one of the thousands of young people that came through his children's and youth choirs. Maybe you were one of the ones he told me about who broke one of his rules on choir tour. Mama and Daddy got the 911, and you were G-O-N-E gone. We all know of Dan's amazing work with the chancel choir, some 80 members strong. The Herald Voices, the Master's Touch Ensemble. They were here to sing at the 8 o'clock service this morning. I think there were more people in the chancel than there were in the congregation this morning. The choir loft was overflowing with members of the chancel choir. We all knew of Dan's ministry of music, but I think Dan really excelled in the ministry of pastoral care. I learned pastoral care from some of the best at Candler School of Theology, but I would suggest to you Dan Brokaw could have taught his own course in the art of pastoral care. For many of you, Dan was with you when your children were born and one died. Dan was with you when your children were confirmed, baptized and confirmed. Dan was with you when your children got married or you got married. He was the first one to ER or the first one to ICU when the call came that you or someone you loved was in distress. He compiled the longest list of prayer concerns of any minister I've ever heard, tried to speak them so fast before worship that he would break out in a sweat and occasionally give TMI, too much information, because his heart was connected that deeply with you. I've experienced some grief in my life, not yet the grief of losing a spouse or a parent, not yet the grief of a sudden and tragic loss, but I've had some grief in my own life and wrestled with that reality. And I have found for me a therapy, in a sense, in the midst of my grief by calling to mind happy moments, happy experiences, happy memories of the one lost. Frequently after the death in the life of our church, I'll write to a grieving spouse, "May the Lord God Himself flood your heart with many happy memories of the one who has been lost." And I've had folks tell me that's helped them a bit, acknowledging their loss by filling that lost place with happy memories. On Friday afternoon, I gathered the senior staff together, and we spent a solid hour talking about Dan. Quirky, wonderful Dan. We talked about what worship would be like this morning. We talked about planning the memorial service, which will be held at 11 o'clock on Tuesday. both in the sanctuary and knowing well that it will be an overflow crowd by electronic means, also broadcast here in the Student Center. And we had a really wonderful opportunity to sit with Dr. Cindy Elrod. One of the great dreams I've had for this church is to establish a licensed professional counseling service for Conyers First and all of Rockdale County. Women and men of solid Christian faith who have offered their mind to be trained, have experienced the rigors of the clinical process, bringing their gifts to us. Dr. Cindy Elrod has volunteered her time today to be here just to be available for conversation. But I'm so proud that Cindy doesn't come alone. The one who established the Care and Counseling Center of Conyers is Dr. Bob Gary. He's now retired again. Bob can't ever quite seem to stay retired, but he's retired from this center. Cindy is now the executive director. But they've come today just to share in our grief. And if it wouldn't be too embarrassing, I'd just like to point them out to you. And I know it's dark back there, but Dr. Elrod, Dr. Gary, would you just stand that we could see you? These are two trusted friends and colleagues in ministry that I admire and I love. And I hope maybe you'll take advantage of them being in our midst this morning just to say hello. As Dr. Elrod met with us this week, she gave us a great idea. She said researchers, neurologists, tell us that something of a marvelous psychosomatic electrochemical reaction happens when we take pen and paper. Remember pen and paper, not a keyboard. Pen and paper, and actually go through the exercise of writing down a memory, writing down an experience. I can't explain it, but I found it to be true. Something happens in your spirit, a release, a reward, a renewal happens when you write it down. I thought to myself, how wonderful it would be if all of us together, as we walk through the valley of the shadow of Dan's death, if we could compile a book that I'm going to call the Book of Dan-isms. The quirky things he'd say, a special memory that he shared with you, and actually take pen and paper, not keyboard and printer, pen and paper, and write down a favorite memory. Then bring it to the church office and leave it with my super great executive assistant, Renee Farah. We'll punch holes in them and compile a growing book in the narthex that we can flip through and read and remember and rejoice and celebrate the incredible witness of this man in our lives. But I thought this morning, for those of us who are so affected by this news, that we might begin this grieving process together this way. Take a moment quietly where you are. And in your spirit, say this: I thank you, God, for Reverend Dan, because fill in the blank. I thank you, God, for Reverend Dan. Fill in a memory. Fill in an experience. Fill in a moment that touched you or blessed your life. Would you take a minute right now in the quietness of this place? I thank you, God, for Reverend Dan, because now it's as though someone was overhearing the conversation that I was having with the staff in the conference room. It's as though someone were right on Dr. Cindy's shoulder. Because late in the day on Friday, I found these words penned. Now, it was computer and printer, unfortunately, but these, Dr. Elrod, I'm sorry, printer and keyboard, but these anonymous words were found on the desk of my administrative executive assistant. I'd really like to know who wrote these. I'm going to suggest that this be the first entry in the book of Dan-isms. It's dated September 14, 2012, on the passing of Reverend Dan. Tell us, Dan. Tell us, Dan, what did you see when the doors of heaven opened? Tell us, Dan, were there familiar faces of the saints from CFUMC waiting there to greet you? Tell us, Dan, were there many and mighty angels encircling the throne room? Tell us, Dan, did your voice join in the singing and worship with all in heaven saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty"? Tell us, Dan, did the sight of our Lord on His throne fill your heart with joy and wonder? Or did His voice sound like thunder or the rushing of many waters? Or was His voice gentle and loving as He said, "Welcome home, my good and faithful servant"? Although you cannot tell us, God's word and songs affirm what the old hymn says. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. May we celebrate Dan's victory. When I think of Dan, I think of Old Testament Enoch. We don't know much about Enoch. He is briefly mentioned in the Old Testament. But in Hebrews chapter 11, where the great litany of the heroes of the faith are listed, Enoch takes up his place. The Bible simply says of Enoch, he walked with God, and he was no more, for God took him. I like the well-repeated story of the little girl who came home from Sunday school one day, one Sunday and over Sunday lunch. Remember Sunday lunch? Her daddy said, "What'd you learn today?" And she, being the brighter of the children, the boys, you know, the brighter of the children, said, "We learned about Enoch." "Well, what'd you learn about Enoch?" "We learned that Enoch walked with God. In the morning, Enoch would get up and God would come over to his house. Enoch and God would go out walking and talking and doing all the good things that made God happy. Then at the end of the day, God would walk Enoch back home and Enoch would go to sleep. Every day, Enoch would walk with God. The more they walked, the more they talked. The more they talked, the better friends they became. One day, Enoch and God were walking and talking, but it was getting late and becoming dark outside. God said, "Enoch, we've walked a long way together and we've talked about a lot of things." Enoch said, "Yes, we have." God said, "Enoch, it's getting late, and we're much closer to my house than yours. Why don't you come home with me?" Last Thursday afternoon, after Reverend Dan had spent a lifetime walking and talking with the Lord, thinking about the next great music extravaganza. He was always thinking about Christmas at Easter time and always thinking about Easter at Christmas time. Dreaming up new moves for the youth choir to make in their program. Talking with God about you and the struggles of your heart, the struggles of your life. As Dan and God were walking together, Dan's body suddenly began to hurt. Dan really had lived for this church, and we all know Dan did not take especially good care of himself. I saw a picture posted on Facebook of Dan when he came here in 1978. He was just a wisp of a person. In the cardiac cath lab at Emory University Hospital, it was discovered that Dan had one artery that was 90% blocked and another artery that was 100% blocked. As Dan and the Lord walked together, it became clear that Dan's body was tired. Dan's body was hurting. And I believe about 7:45 Thursday night, as the evening was coming to a close, God said to Dan, "I believe we're a little closer to my house just now. Why don't you come home with me?" And Dan did. Hallelujah. Amen. As we conclude our service this morning, I'd like for you to draw on your connection card again. And on the backside is an opportunity for you to respond for yourself. And the first and greatest response would be for you to claim the mansion that the Lord Jesus has purchased for you in heaven. And you can receive that mansion through personal faith in Him by giving your heart to Him and receiving the amazing grace and love that He has made available to you through the cross of Jesus Christ. Do you know that there is a mansion just over the hilltop awaiting for you? That your name is written on that mansion? For every believer, there is a place that is there. How I long for you to live with the confidence that Reverend Dan lived with, knowing that when his time came, he knew where he was going. Do you know, regardless of your age, regardless of your station in life, that's a great source of hope to know that you know. I'd like for you to underline John chapter 14 in your Bibles, especially that promise that where I am, you may be also. The bottom of the card is an opportunity for you to share your heart with me. How I delight in the ways that you offer yourself in such vulnerable ways week after week to share with me something of your heartbeat, and how I delight to spend Tuesdays in a time of quiet prayer for you, kneeling before the cross and praying with and for you by name and by need. This Tuesday, we'll sort of all be praying for each other. 11 o'clock. In the sanctuary or the student center. As music plays, I'd like just to give you some quiet time, a little space to respond to the Word of God and the claim of Christ on your life. Perhaps you'd want to share with me where your heart is and how I can pray for you. Perhaps you'd like to write down, begin the Dr. Elrod therapy, and simply write, "Thank you, God, for Reverend Dan, because..." When you complete your connection card, I invite you simply to fold it over and leave it with an usher as you depart from the worship center. And I'll be so honored for your heart and my heart to be connected together. Let's take just a few quiet moments, shall we? On Thursday afternoon, just as Dan was being rolled out of Rockdale ICU, and by the way, may I pause and say a very good word for the excellent work of Rockdale Medical Center ICU. On Thursday, they were top notch. The charge nurse was Renee. Somehow I remembered that name. Renee was the nurse in charge. As Dan was preparing to be loaded on the life flight to fly to Decatur to Emory University Hospital, there were six of us gathered there. Yeah, I know that's too many for ICU, but we did it anyway. We gathered around his gurney. I was real proud that the guys who were going to be driving the gurney paused to pray with us. I just really appreciated that. And I reached out to Brother Dan, and I prayed the prayer that means so much to me. And it's the prayer that I offer you from the heart of God. And now, as always, my friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you, His healing and approving smile, and best yet, give you peace, perfect peace. I reached out to anoint my brother Dan and marked him on the forehead in the sign of the cross, as I bless you now, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for Reverend Dan. Amen, and good morning.